Hey everybody, welcome to today's edition of the Salt and Light Podcast. I am your host, Chuck Fulkerson, joined by the bucolic.
Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your light.
Bucolic. Come on, I know you can do this one. I have faith in you. No, I don't.
Exhausted?
No, but it was close. I was actually going to go with, it means calm. But it also means rural and rustic. And you've got kind of a rural and rustic look today.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're wearing a shirt. So I want people to understand. They need to see what you look like today because it's laundry day. Yeah, I'm gonna tell everybody. And you're wearing a St. Thomas Aquinas, like, fighting oxes shirt.
And it's my musk ox shirt.
She has a shirt with a musk ox on it, hence the rural. But, you know, it's got kind of like this kind of hip t-shirty vibe. It's kind of soft, and you'd wear that like with jeans. Nope, yoga pants.
Yeah, well, I'm doing laundry today, so all my jeans are in the wash. I had to do a jeans load.
They don't match.
And I wasn't going anywhere after mass today, for because we're recording on Ash Wednesday.
Happy Valentine's Day, by the way.
So after mass, I just put on clothes that we're not in the laundry.
It's awesome. This is awesome. Hence the reason that you're calm because it's Ash Wednesday and you're kind of pensive. And we did the act of contrition with the boys before prayer for bed.
Yeah.
And you're rustic and rural all at the same time. Hence the reason that today you are bucolic.
I can't wait until we get like deep into the chapters of Latin and Greek roots with Charlie with homeschooling lessons, and I can actually like get some of these things.
You know what's funny is that I was at a training.
Because my math score carried my reading score in the SATs. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, my math score dragged down my reading score My math score dragged down my reading score significantly.
Hey, opposites attract.
Yep, that's right. Well, I mean, because I have taken the, I took reading seriously. Math, ooh, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just didn't like it?
Well, no, math for me was one of those things where I just never understood the logic behind why.
And that's what I found so beautiful. I loved the fact that there was a right and a wrong, and there wasn't any gray in between.
See,
in math.
I disagree completely. There's not just a right and a wrong. There are many shades oftentimes in there.
There's not.
There's sometimes shades.
There's no shades of gray.
There are shades.
And there's not 50 shades of gray.
Hashtag shades.
No.
Did you know that they made 3 movies of that?
It's an abomination. But that's not the topic of the podcast today.
Yeah, no, that's not the topic. Although I do remember when you read the first book, you're like, what is this? And I said, 50 Shades of Smut.
Yeah, yeah. Hashtag put it down.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So today is St. Valentine's Day.
It is. And Ash Wednesday.
And Ash Wednesday. So by the way, have you decided yet? Today is Ash Wednesday. You've got to give something up for Lent.
I do. Last couple of years, we've given up wine and coffee and red meat, things that we really, 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 really enjoy.
Yeah, I gave up red meat because it's probably my favorite thing to eat.
Would you say you're a slave to red meat?
I would. And I wouldn't say that I normally am until I have a plate of it in front of me. And I just keep eating. Like, seriously, it's gluttony. I know that. I know that's my weakness. But if there's like, there could be 20 hot dogs on a plate, I'll eat 16 of them. Easy.
Or bacon.
That's just stupid. It's just what I can do to a pound of bacon is unfair to the pig world.
True. Which you gave me the best Valentine's Day card.
That's right.
Ever.
You got to put a video of it up on Twitter.
I will. I will make that the image for this show.
It's literally a video.
It's the best card ever.
Speaking of bacon, did you see? Oh my goodness. Those people that don't follow me on Twitter, go find me on Twitter. It's just my name, Chuck Fulkerson. And I found a picture of Hogzilla. Did you see the picture of Hogzilla I posted?
It was enormous.
There is, okay, so you guys need to look this up. It is Hogzilla, and he lives in, and it, like, it's roaming the streets of Hong Kong. And it is a pig the size of a Volkswagen bus.
It's enormous. It's up on its hind legs, like in a dumpster.
It's amazing. It was eating out of a dumpster. The other pigs,
I think pigs are like goldfish. Like the more they eat, the bigger they get.
I have no clue, but this pig is the man.
Yeah.
It's the man. But anyway.
How are we going to segue into the topic from this? This has absolutely nothing to do with our topic.
But I saw Hogzilla, and I thought that the world should know about Hogzilla. And yeah,
we're going to get nasty comments, like banter, way too long. Where are we?
We're at 5 minutes.
Of banter?
5 minutes.
Ooh, and first, let's not make too many people angry.
And frankly, we were talking about Hogzilla. So they're you're welcome, world. You're welcome. So anyway, it is... Lent. We were getting there. We were talking about Lent, and that led us to bacon, which led us to Hogzilla. But anyway, I gave up red meat because I'm a slave to red meat. I can't, like, if there's a plate there, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to eat the whole thing, and I know it. And it's not just red. I mean, it's just pretty much any meat. So chicken, I hate it, but I'll eat it for the next 40 days.
Except on Fridays and today.
Except on Fridays and today, and then I'll have fish. I don't mind fish. But anyway, so I gave that up, and you, as far as what you've given up, haven't made a full firm decision yet. So you just really didn't have anything today.
I just didn't have anything today because I haven't settled on anything yet.
Yeah. Well,
which brings us to our topic.
It does bring us to our topic. So one of the things that you had mentioned in the past that you've noticed, and I think a lot of people have said or read, and you talked about it was in your feed, in your news feed, about how a lot of people are just not giving things up for Lent, right? So that's one of the things that I've heard about, and I've heard it from a couple of people. You know, I don't really give anything up for Lent. I add things. I add prayer, or I add, you know, reading a spiritual book every week or something like that. So I've heard a lot of that about Lent, and that Lent, you know, you don't have to just give something up. Or if you do give something up, don't kill yourself, but add things. And I said that, and you got that glimmer in your eye. That glimmer that, no, it's not the glimmer. It's the Tim the Toolman look. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. The pendulum has seemed to have swung this year to an overemphasis on one of the three pegs of or three legs of the tripod, if you will. So Lent is made up of the three tenets of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. And overwhelmingly this year, I've seen in my feed on social media and even some homilies and stuff has been, not from our church, but just like on my feed, what I'm seeing. But anyway, it seems that the overemphasis is on prayer, which is not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. But if you think of the three tenets like the three legs of a stool,
right?
In order to have that stool stand up straight, you need to have equal weight, equal lengths of those three legs, right? And so the overemphasis on prayer, I have to be careful because, hear me out here, because this might take a minute or two for me to describe. But what is being said is you just need to add 15 minutes of prayer or, you know, some spiritual reading and, you know, you'll grow in spirituality and you'll grow in your relationship with God. Okay. I have a couple thoughts on this. One is if you take that too far, Lent ends up becoming like a self-help course.
Okay.
Right? A self-improvement.
So it's like Tony Robbins.
Yeah. It becomes like a self-improvement 40 days, right? Like break a bad habit. You only have to spend, you know, 30 days doing something new and you'll break a bad habit. And so so this like overemphasis on you doing the, you know, you doing this like different praying is going to improve yourself. Okay. I think that that's an issue because first it's putting an overemphasis on ourselves.
Right.
Right. And the second thing is it's putting an overemphasis on our own work, our own ability. And in James, you know, he talks about faith without works is dead. Okay. And I know that like that's one of the things that divides Catholics and Protestants, right? Because they'll say, well, you know, your works aren't going to grant you salvation. Well, No, they're not. They're not. Not okay. on my own, not on my own ability. It's not my, it's not me, Annie, doing the work that is going to grant me my salvation, right? If a Catholic believes that, they're wrong. Okay. What it is God's grace granting me the ability to cooperate with his will, and through those actions, I participate with his will, and so am being saved, and then will be saved because I was already saved by Christ's salvific actions. So it only is through God's grace that my actions have any benefit at all. So I sort of like my defenses sort of go up when I hear the, well, you know, during Lent, like it's not necessarily important that, you know, that fasting is hard or anything like that. You just really need to add prayer because you'll get better. To me, that, and maybe I'm misinterpreting everyone who's saying this.
Okay.
But what I take it as, and why I get a little bit defensive about it, is because to me, that comes across as you just need to, you know, based on your own actions and your own ability and your own will, if you pray more, you'll get better. There's too many yous in that sentence.
It's self-reliance.
I'm doing it all that's all by myself. The word. Yes. Yes. And that's a problem. That's a problem because Lent is not about self-help. Lent is not a self-help course. And so I think we need to, you know, when we were talking, we talked a little bit before the show, and I described it as sort of like putting the cart before the horse. If you put prayer before fasting, I don't think it's going to be as fruitful.
It's like changing the channels on the television, but you haven't turned the TV on yet.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, yeah. I think that because if we go back and we look at why we fast, ancient Israel fasted all throughout the Old Testament. There was fasting, and we also have Christ's example himself of when he spent 40 days in the desert, didn't eat anything, denied himself completely. He didn't eat anything. He denied himself and then was faced with the devil. And the devil tempted him in three ways. He tempted him carnally, he tempted him with glory, and he tempted him with power. How did he do that? The first temptation was the devil put stones before Christ and said, I will turn these stones to bread.
Right? After he had not eaten.
After he had not eaten, right? So that's like the most visceral, bottom level, carnal desires,
what's
right?
What's that called? Concupiscence?
Concupiscence, yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. The concupiscible passions is what Aquinas would call them, right? Those very carnal, bodily type desires for food, right? So those basic levels. And of course, Christ denied them. And then the devil upped the ante and took him to the parapet of the temple. Now, again, think about yourself as a first century Jew hearing this story. And the temple was the epicenter of everything. It was the epicenter of their religious life, their political life, their social life.
It was like downtown.
You and that Pittsburgh accent. Oh, my God. He took him to the parapet of the temple and tempted him with glory. And then he took him to, and of course Christ said no, and then he upped the ante to the final, probably the thing that most tempts the largest majority of humans, and that is power. Because he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he could have all of the kingdoms of, you know, power over all the kingdoms of the world if he would only worship the devil, right? And of course Christ said no. And so we need to look at that. That is such a powerful gospel reading because Christ gives us the example of what fasting should actually be. He went into the desert, into this empty place, denying himself, allowing himself to face these carnal temptations and glory temptations and power temptations, allowing him to face the demons, so to speak, very realistically, And then, and as only
made,
then.
As you made quote marks in the air with your fingers.
Of course, I talk with my hands. Everybody knows this by now. And only after he was able to deny all of those things was he able to truly, he was ready for his mission, right? He was ready to do the work that God had sent him to do.
So he couldn't do what God had sent him to do until he had given things up.
Yeah, and maybe
until he had fasted.
I mean, you know, Christ was without sin. He was still tempted because he was a human, but he retained his he still had his humanity, right? And so the devil did tempt him with those earthly temptations, but Christ was sinless, right? Just as his mother was sinless. So Christ was sinless, but he was still, the devil still tempted him in earthly ways. And I think us as fallen humans, we need to look to that because
most of us aren't sinless.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. So I think we all need to look to that to say, okay, we have this third leg of this tripod, which really I think should be the first leg of the tripod. And start there and start with fasting where we deny the very things that keep God from the center of our life. What are we a slave to? What controls us? Is it, what do you do with your free time?
As Britney Spears would say, I'm a slave for you. I didn't cue up that song.
You didn't cue up the song. But I thought about
it.
You just went there.
I thought about it.
You went there. But I think we need
right now, by the way, some people are like, maybe they're running, listening to me with their in their earbuds, and they're picturing me with a snake and a belly shirt.
And, I don't know, khaki skirt.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
So I think when we decide to fast, it's not just about like, well, give it up and it's hard. And so replace it with prayer. And it, like, you have this sort of like easy equation, right, to get you through Lent, to get you through these 40 days. But I think we need to look at Christ's example. We're called to be little Christs, right? We're called to be holy. And so if we put ourselves in the desert, we should be really uncomfortable because the next step is to face our own demons. What are we a slave to? Find out, is it the carnal pleasures? A lot of people can leave those, it might be uncomfortable, but a lot of people can leave those carnal pleasures behind. So are we a slave to glory?
So if it's too easy, then we're not trying hard enough.
Yeah, and I don't know if we can really, I don't know if it's beneficial to categorize things as easy or hard. I think when it comes down to it, we really need to face those demons, face those desires, face the things that make us very uncomfortable. What are we a slave to? Because if we find out what, whether it's the carnal pleasures or whether it's glory or power, right? All the things that Christ hated on the cross, wealth, pleasure, power, honor, glory, all those things. What are we a slave to? And if we can find out what drives us, what drives us and drives a wedge between us and God, keeping us from keeping God at the center of our life. Then when we deny those things, when we remove those desires, it allows the deepest desires of our own heart to surface. And that desire is God. My heart is restless until it rests in you, St. Augustine says. So
you just pulled that one right off the top of your head?
Yeah.
That's just what you do.
Yeah, I have no notes tonight. We're just going for it tonight.
You have no notes in yoga pants.
Yeah, and yoga pants, that's right. No notes in yoga pants. But I'm wrapped in the musk ox of St. Thomas. So,
yep.
Yeah. So I think then and only then are we able to feel that, experience that true deep desire of our heart. And that's where then the second leg of the triangle becomes so beautiful because St. Teresa says that prayer is just a conversation between friends. And so if we deny all of those earthly desires, and from that springs, and there's room to spring that desire that are the deepest desire of our hearts for God, then that can be met with the very grace of God. And that's the unity of prayer that I think we're all striving for. And that's that right there is relying on God's grace to come join us, right? And meet us in that place and fill us with his grace, because we're desiring him, and we've set aside those earthly desires. Does that make sense?
Yeah, gone through the desert to make yourself more prepared.
Right. So I think that I hate to put it in like an equation sort of stance, but I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I just can't help it.
Dork.
Yeah, totally. But I think that it's really important to enter into Lent that way, just like Christ did. We have 40 days. That's not an accident. It's not an accident that we have 40 days prior to Easter, right? Prior that we have the fast before the feast. And the final part of that is almsgiving, right? That's the third leg of that triangle. And so once we're communicating with God in that space, right, where we've removed those earthly desires, the deepest desires of our heart are now exposed and raw, and God's grace is meeting us in that place, then we're free to go and do his will, just like Christ was. Whatever God's will is for our lives, we're then free to go and do that and cooperate with his will by his grace, not by our own self-reliance. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
And so then that leads us to the third tripod, the third leg of the tripod.
By the way, you've said tripod, you've said stool, and you've said triangle. So I'm just wondering which one it is. Let's go with the third leg of the stool.
Third leg of the stool? Okay. You can correct me every time I mess up from here on out.
Nope, I just kind of like it.
So the last, what did we decide to say? The third leg of the stool.
The third corner of the tripod.
What? Corner of a tripod?
The third trimester.
Oh, well, that could make sense. That's okay.
Let's go to the third leg of the stool.
Third leg of the stool. All right, third leg of the stool. So the third leg of the stool is now almsgiving, right? Which a lot of people will just say like, well, they want me to give money. We have those little rice bowls, right? Where the cardboard things that they're flat, and then you try and figure out how to turn them into a little box. And at the end of the day, you throw in your little change. And at the end of Lent, you're like, hey, look, I gave from all the extra change that I had throughout these last 40 days, and I collected $4.13, and I can give it to the poor. Okay, first of all, almsgiving doesn't necessarily mean only money, right? Almsgiving is really, how can I bless others?
Right.
It might be with money, but if it is, we're not called to give from our excess. We're called to give from our need.
It might just be more time spent cooking fish.
At the Knights of Columbus
and
Fish
Farm. And again, and again.
You love it.
I do. I do love doing it, actually.
Yeah, St. Martha's Fish Fry starts this Friday. Come join us. Shameless plug. Come out and support the Knights. Anyway, so I think that then we're able to go ahead and serve others and bless others, because now we are more prepared to cooperate with God's will, like I said, like through his grace, and to, whether it's evangelize or go wash someone's clothes if their washer breaks, or if they, you know, take them a cooked meal, or watch somebody's kids, or drive somebody to, I don't know, because their car broke down. Like, whatever it happens to be, go bless somebody, share the gospel. Whatever it happens to be, I think we'll be more prepared if we've gone through those steps and followed the very example of Christ.
So what you're saying is that we've already got a blueprint, and it's not going to just be Tony Robbins prayer more.
No.
It's not a self-help book.
No, I get super frustrated when I see
really nobody can tell.
Well, hey, look, this is live, people. I get really frustrated when I see people that try to be like creative and try and reinvent the wheel and try and be pithy and, you know, invent new ways to experience Lent. Christ gave us the model. I don't know why we have to try and reinvent the wheel. He went in the desert. He fasted. He faced the devil. He and denied it, and then
he didn't add audiobooks.
No, and you know, and I don't want to say like it's, you know, don't add more prayer time. That's not what I'm saying. Obviously, the second leg of the stool, is that where we are? The second leg of the stool is prayer.
Right.
Right? Fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. But I really think it's important to follow the, like you said, the blueprint of Christ and fast first so that we know what our earthly desires are, what we're a slave to, so that we can deny those and leave room for the deepest desire of our heart to expose itself and unite with the grace of God. That's my point.
Got it off your chest?
Yeah, it's just so annoying to see, you know, all this on my feed of like, it's not important to give stuff up. Just spend more time in prayer. You know what? That's what ordinary time is for. Go spend more time in prayer during ordinary time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lent is a penitential season for fasting to prepare us for the feast and prepare us to share the gospel, spread the good news. But we need to spend that time preparing. And if we don't, if we're like, oh, fasting's not that big of a deal. Don't be uncomfortable. Like, it only has to be, you know, don't try to be a saint. No.
Actually, that's exactly what we're called to do.
Right.
I'm just saying. That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. So.
Well, I would mention bacon in tonight's podcast, but I'm giving up red meat for Lent, so.
And it's Ash Wednesday, so we should be fasting from meat.
We are fasting from meat. I'm already hungry for a hamburger. I'm in the desert.
It's been 12 hours.
I'm in the desert. Understand this.
Yeah.
I drove by two fast food places on the way home, and I went, oh, I want a burger, and I don't normally need a burger. I wanted a burger.
No, we never stop at those places to get burgers anyway.
So bad.
It's literally just the thought of giving it up, see?
And Fuddruckers is opening back up like next week.
Oh, yeah?
Just to smack me in the face. Fuddruckers is going to put a sign that says, we have turkey burgers, and I'm going to lose my mind.
Well, that would not be helpful, because the fowl counts as meat.
Not as red meat.
Well, oh, okay. So you're just giving up. I thought we were talking about Wednesday and Friday.
Slow down.
Okay.
I'm not giving up all meat.
All right.
Okay? Listen, I am ethically opposed to being vegan. That broccoli can't even run to escape.
No portobello mushroom burger?
Oh, me. Yeah, that's what you get annoyed at other things. I get annoyed when people call it a meaty mushroom. That's so insulting to meat. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. I hope you, if you have been on our iTunes page and left a review, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. If you've not left us a review and you think that we're awesome, give us 5 stars. If you've not left a review and you think that we're terrible, give us 5 stars anyway, and then email me privately and tell me that we're terrible. But thank you so much for doing it. You can find more at the website, saltandlightonline.com.
St. Anthony the Abbot.
Pray for us.
Peace be with you.
You've been listening to the Salt and Light Podcast. Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your life.